Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Young man, I'd like to ask you a question on the radio. Do you mind? First of all, how many ounces is that cup of coffee, dude?
Well, this is not a cup of coffee.
What do you got in there?
I have tea.
You got tea?
Yeah.
This is like 80 ounces?
I wouldn't know, to be honest with you.
It's a lot. Where do you come from, young man?
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua?
Yeah.
Terrific. And what are you studying here?
Mathematics.
Mathematics. Tell me, have you been following what's been going on with the American government about the bailout plan?
I've heard about it, but I can't say that I have been following it.
What is your economic approach to the world? Are you a capitalist? Are you a socialist?
I would say that I'm a combination between a capitalist and a socialist.
Tell me what that looks like.
Friendly competition.
Okay.
Cooperation with other companies.
That's capitalism. What's the socialism part?
The cooperation part, I think that there's some things that should not be in hands of companies, such as education or electricity, water, healthcare.
How come?
Because health is something that should be available to all, for it's in the best interest of all to have healthy citizens in their countries.
You'd like the government to do that because you don't think that individuals can be charitable and take care of people who are sick?
I think that the government is the most capable of undertaking.
Most capable? Really?
Yeah.
So what makes government more capable?
They are there to serve the people.
But isn't that what healthcare is about, though? Serving people? Isn't that what they're there to do?
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many things with health insurance and I mean, it's so expensive to get.
I agree with that.
You know,
where did you come up with this view? How did you learn this, or where did you get these ideas?
Well, I would say it's from compassion, some basic human values, some Christian values.
You're a Christian.
Yes, I can say that I am, but that does not mean that I haven't looked at other religions as well and consider what good they have to say.
What does Christianity teach?
Christianity teaches to love thy neighbor as you love thyself, which is a pretty universal.
Why should I become a Christian? If I'm not a Christian, why would you tell me I should become a Christian?
Well, I don't say that you should become a Christian, but I think you should at least look at the Christian values because they're universal.
So it's a good way to live?
Yes.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay, here's
I'm not saying you should become a Christian, but I think you should look into it.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's the deal. I'm living good. I've got health insurance. I'm taken care of medically. I've got a wife and kids, a dog. Little annoying, but overall pretty good. I don't think I need Christianity.
No, I didn't say you need it, but maybe you want it.
Why?
You don't need it, but a lot of people around you are Christians. I mean, I'm sure you have Christian friends. So I think it's a good way to relate to them if you learn a little bit about what they believe in. I'm sure that people who are around you...
Here's how I understand Christianity.
Okay. Right?
This is what I've learned about Christianity, is that it's not about a set of rules on how to live life.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that from a lot of different people and a lot of religious systems. What's unique about Christianity is it says something that's different than every religious worldview. Every other religious worldview says, do good, and be rewarded when you're done.
Mm.
Christianity says something completely different. The Bible says nobody does good, no, not one. That everybody's a sinner, right?
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a sinner?
Yes.
How do you know?
I live in this world.
Yeah. And you know, and you've got something called a conscience, that little thing that goes, oh boy, I did wrong again.
Yeah.
For instance, when you tell lies, something inside of you says, I shouldn't be doing that, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For instance, Jesus, did he not say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart?
Yes.
Have you ever done that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's something inside of you that says, that was wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. correct?
Yeah.
Because that's a dirty thing to do. Or look at pornography, mm-hmm. or fornication, sex outside of marriage.
Yeah.
Even taking God's name in vain. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's blasphemy. The Bible says God will not hold him blameless who takes his name in vain. And that's why the Bible proclaims nobody does good, no, not one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. What's your first name?
Francisco.
Francisco, if you died and God judged you,
mm-hmm.
he knows your thought life, your deeds, your actions, your failures, everything that you've ever done in darkness,
mm-hmm.
would he find you innocent or guilty?
I think that depends on what set of criteria he judged me by.
Lusting, lying, stealing, blasphemy, dishonoring parents.
He would find me guilty.
Guilty. So what should God do with you? Send you to heaven or hell?
I think he should send me somewhere in between.
But there isn't any place like that. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, then judgment.
Well,
guilty, heaven or hell.
I think he should send me back to this earth then.
We like that idea because the thought of going to hell is horrible. No. Okay, Francisco, this is where you should be going. Hold it, hold it. That's why Jesus came to this earth and died on a cross to take the punishment for my sins. That's what Christianity teaches.
Well,
right?
Yes, it is. It is what Christianity
That's
teaches.
That's the biggie. That's the good news of the gospel. You're a sinner, but God died to save you. He doesn't have to punish you if justice is satisfied. Jesus paid your fine by dying on a cross so you can be set free. You can be found not guilty because of what Jesus did. That's Christianity. And that's why I need it, and that guy on roller skates there needs it. Everybody needs it because we've all sinned and fallen short. God must punish us because he's good and righteous, but he's merciful, and he sent his son to live on this earth to take the punishment we deserve, to die on a cross for you, a guy who looks at women and lusts and lies and dishonors parents and steals and cheats, all those things that we've done. He died knowing that you would do those things because he's good. And the Bible says we must repent. Admit we're not good, we're sinners,
mm-hmm.
apologize and turn from our sins and put our trust in Jesus and him alone, not Muhammad or Allah or Buddha or the great spirit of the plain, but in Jesus Christ, the only God that lives, the only God that there is, and he says he'll forgive your sins and grant you everlasting life. Have you done that? Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
I've repented and put my trust in Jesus.
So when you die, you're going to heaven for sure because your sins are forgiven.
Will I be going to heaven? Well, you know, I try to think about this and my actions every day. Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Okay, so Indeed. The Bible says, examine yourself and see if you're in the truth. So I'm going to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
It's between you and God. I'm not your judge. Are you in the truth? Have you repented, died to yourself, turned from your sins, and put your trust in Jesus and him alone? You examine yourself and see.
Well, what does it mean to put your trust in Jesus Christ alone?
Well, right now, most of us trust in ourselves. The way that I'm living, I'm doing pretty good. I'm trusting in me. I'm trusting in money. Trust in Jesus.
Okay.
That what he said is true, that he's God, and that he stooped to save you. Trust in that.
I trust in that.
All right, dude. All right.
I trust in that, absolutely.
All right.
But at the same time, he told us to be compassionate. And
I agree completely. But our compassion comes because we have been shown so much compassion.
Indeed.
And that's why we do
so
that.
But the thing is, I mean, how should we approach other world religions?
Well, here's what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me.
Okay.
The Bible makes it clear throughout.
Every
other world system is wrong. They're wrong.
Yeah, but Jesus Christ also says the most important thing is to be compassionate. And I think it's very compassionate.
It's to love God.
Yeah, and to love God would also mean to look at the messages that he has given to the other people in the world.
Yeah, those messages don't come from him.
You don't know that.
Oh, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that there's one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. That's it.
Okay, that's true. The Bible does say that.
And he didn't.
However, he did say, oh, I'm sorry, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Yes, Jesus Christ is great. I love the Bible. I like to read the Bible. But you can't know for sure that hasn't been perverted by evil men in the world. And there's no saying. I mean, there's absolutely no saying.
Well,
it's all right. I understand. Don't worry about it. I love Jesus Christ. I love that message. But I'm not going to forsake all the other knowledge and all the other world's history and not learn at least one little bit about them, not consider them. If you want someone to convert to Christianity, how will you preach your message if you don't first learn about their religion? Well, isn't that not hypocrisy?
Well, you're assuming I don't know about their religion. I do.
Okay. 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 And how much do you know?
Here's what Islam teaches.
Have you read the book?
The Quran?
Have you read the Quran?
I have read a lot of it. How much do I need to read? The whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Have you read the whole thing?
No.
Oh. So this is what the Quran teaches. Mm-hmm. Okay. That you have to obey five pillars of Islam, and then maybe Allah.
What are the five pillars?
Yeah, you know, you've got to go on a Hajj. You've got to do your tithes, your prayers.
Okay. What are the Hajj?
To take a pilgrimage to Mecca or Medina.
Okay. Okay.
The Bible says you don't do any of those things. You repent and trust the Savior, and He will save you. We don't save ourselves. Mm-hmm. Islam says save yourself. Jesus says you can't. I will save you. That's the difference, dude.
That's great. You know,
but here's what the Bible says that you say that you love, Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
There are no other gods. There is no other. He is it. All the other ones are idols, either made up in people's minds or made up out of a piece of wood and put on a mantle. Jesus and Jesus alone is God, and He is your Savior. All right?
I hope Jesus forgives you.
All right. Thanks for the chat, all right, dude? Enjoy your tea. All right?
Thanks
very much. You are listening to... See how well that economic conversation went? Wretched Radio.
Okay, so if you admit it, you're like the rest of us. You've got 47 streaming services, and you're paying for at least six of them. But somehow, every night, you sit down on the couch and you say, there's nothing to watch. Meanwhile, Fortis Plus is sitting right there for free on your Roku, your Fire TV, Apple TV, Android, hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of content on theology, marriage, parenting, manhood, cultural issues, stuff that actually matters. And you know what? We keep adding more. Yeah, of course, you could scroll through Netflix for like 45 minutes looking for something that won't rot your brain, or you could pull up Fortis Plus and learn something that'll actually help you be a better husband, dad, or Christian by the time the credits roll. Download the Fortis Plus app right now. It is absolutely free, and it's on your TV. And unlike that true crime documentary that you've watched three times at least, it might actually do you some good.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched.
History is full of kings, and every single one of those kings, well, they're gone now. Except one. One king continues to reign, and Exalt the King with Todd Friel is a weekly podcast about that very king. Todd is the pastor of Alpharetta Bible Church, and every single week he takes a passage of scripture and he preaches it the way it was meant to be preached, until you can see Jesus in all of his beauty and glory. And Todd will be the first to tell you, he's after more than just your attention. He preaches to stir your heart, because a king this glorious deserves to be loved, and a heart that loves him follows him gladly. So come and hear for yourself what happens when the Word of God lifts Christ up where he belongs. Exalt the King with Todd Friel. There's a new episode every week wherever you listen to podcasts or on FortisPlus.org.
Revelation. Is the Bible really God's Word, or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect, God-breathed, authoritative, without error, the Word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy Word to humanity, through which He makes Himself known and continues to draw us to Himself.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This young man right here. Mr. Myrtle Beach, while you're walking, could I talk to you on the radio? You up for that?
Sure.
Cool. What's your first name?
I'm Oren.
Oren?
Yep.
That is an unusual name. Where'd that come from?
It's a family name. I'm actually the seventh.
Get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
What's the heritage? What is your... careful of the mud here. Walk over here, young man. What's the heritage? Where does that come from?
Not exactly sure. I don't know.
But you had a great Oren.
Yes.
From what country?
I'd assume English, maybe some Scottish. I don't know exactly.
All right, what are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
I'm a mechanical engineer.
Because you want to be a mechanical engineer, don't you?
I do.
Yeah? What does that mean? What does a mechanical engineer do?
A mechanical engineer can do anything.
Like, well, not anything.
Well, I mean, everybody needs an engineer. And if you want an engineer, you might as well get a mechanical engineer because we can do a little of everything.
So you could do what an electrical engineer does?
Not in as much detail, but we do take a few courses on electrical engineering.
Okay, so here's what I just learned. Kind of, you would be like the general practice doctor of engineering.
That's exactly it.
As opposed to a specialist in whatever it happened to be.
Right, right. We're the backbone. They're the details.
Got it. And is there a little bit of an attitude between the different camps?
I mean, not really. I think the engineers
are pretty
united.
I sensed a little coming from you that if you're going to get an engineer, get a mechanical engineer. Like, you guys are better than the rest.
I would not say we were better than the rest. I say without them, we'd have no purpose. So it's important to keep your allies.
All right, speaking of purpose, what do you think your purpose in life is? I mean, yeah, you want to be a mechanical engineer, but you know the big thing. What's the point? What are you doing? Where are you going?
I'm actually looking into the business market.
No. I'm talking kind of philosophically, not just how you make a paycheck. What is your purpose? Why are you, Oren, seventh generation, here?
That is a good question, and if I had a good answer, I would give it.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
Have you pondered it?
I have thought about it, but I've not come to any conclusions.
Have you gotten warm?
Have I gotten warm?
Yeah, have you come up with, I'm here to make money. The purpose of life is to have fun, eat, drink, and be merry. The purpose in life is to glorify God. The purpose in life is to what?
I think it's, a combination. I mean, there's no direct answers for me, let alone anyone else. It's...
Are you a postmodern? Do you know what that means?
Not in much detail.
A postmodern would say, you can believe whatever you want to. That's your truth. It's valid because you believe it. It can be completely different than my truth, but it's still true for you. Would that describe you?
In a way, I'd say it would.
Okay, so here, let me ask you this question. I happen to be... Here's my answer to the purpose question.
Okay.
I'm a Christian.
All right, I am as well.
You are as well. I think the goal in life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. All right? Would you agree with that?
I would agree that is a very good purpose in life. I mean, it's...
Okay, change that then. I'm a Hindu, and I believe the purpose in life is to lose all of my desires so that ultimately I can enter nirvana, or what's their paradigm? Enter into nothingness. That's my purpose in life. Here's my question.
All right.
Do you think I'm wrong?
You're not hurting anyone.
Not the question. Do you think I'm wrong?
Do I think you're wrong?
Yes, sir. I'm a Hindu. The purpose in life is to lose all desires so that I can be connected to the great big divine. Whatever that happens to be.
Well, that's a very... I mean, it's an opinion question. So my opinion is I'm a Christian and I believe in the Christian faith. So...
But do you believe I'm wrong? I'll take it another level for you. You ready for this
one?
I believe that the great big goddess of the universe is Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if I say Lady Gaga's name 16 times right before I die, I'm going to spend paradise in Funky Town with Lady Gaga, singing her greatest hit. What is it? Do you remember the song?
I don't even know.
Okay. So I'm going to be singing Lady Gaga songs for eternity in Funky Town with Lady Gaga. Do you think I'm wrong, Oren?
Well, I guess you're always opinionated by your own beliefs, so yes, I think you're wrong.
There you go. Because if you're fighting it on the inside going, well, no, you're not wrong because that's what you believe, that's postmodernism.
Okay.
Which says, you can believe whatever you want to, and it's right for you, even though I believe it's completely different than what I believe.
All right.
So the question really is, if I'm wrong, who's right? Who do you think is right philosophically when it comes to God? Do you think you're right?
Well, I obviously think I'm right because I believe what I think, but I guess I can't prove it, just as you can't prove that Lady Gaga isn't the supreme being.
No, but I don't have a whole lot of evidence for it, do I?
No, you don't.
Why are you a Christian, Orin?
Well, I guess it started, I mean, I was born a Christian, I went to church, and I just believed, I mean, thought about it, and it seemed true to me.
Okay. What denomination?
Non-denominational.
Non-denominational. So, you would say that you are a Christian, and would you also say that is so evident in your life? If I assembled all of your friends, they would say the most important thing in Orin's life is Jesus Christ. Would they say that?
I don't believe that they would. I follow the Bible. I believe in the Bible. I try to live the way the Bible portrays how you're supposed to live. But, I mean, I'm not widely open about it. I don't know what you're looking for exactly.
Nothing specific. If I asked you the question, would you consider yourself to be a good person? What would you say?
I would say that, yes, I believe I'm a good person.
How come?
I mean, I care about other people. I want to make sure that no injustices are done to them.
The Bible says that everybody is sinful by nature and corrupt and wicked at heart. And all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. How do you harmonize that with your opinion that you're a good person?
Well, drawing a blank here. This is a good question. Will you restate it in a slightly different way?
The Bible says you're a bad person.
Okay.
You said you're a good person.
Right.
Something's not making sense.
Well, I'm not a perfect person. I have sins. I commit injustices. That's because I'm a human, and it's natural for humans to make mistakes.
Do you remember a time in your life, because you're how old now?
22.
Sometime in your life when, you know, you were born into the church, and you maybe grew up going to church,
right,
and you learned the Jesus songs, and that's just what you did because mom and dad did, but you as a man, when you really thought it over and you realized, you know what, that whole Bible thing, it's very true, and I'm a very bad man and I'm a very bad sinner and I need to be forgiven by God.
Yes, I definitely believe that.
Yeah, when did that happen for you?
It happened long ago. I can't give you a time or anything, but I've always been aware of that I do make mistakes, that I'm not perfect, and I definitely need to be forgiven for my mistakes. So I ask for forgiveness for
when Jesus said a man must be born again or he will not see the kingdom of God, do you believe that you have been born again?
I definitely believe I've been born again.
When did that happen?
I believe I made the prayer, I think I got the feeling around 7 or 8, and then I talked to my parents about it and asked them how to become born again. Yes.
Yeah. And what did they say?
Well, I prayed with my mother, and you got to take Jesus into your heart, accept that you do have sins, and he died on this earth for your sins.
Fine.
And
did you repent?
Yes, I was definitely sorry for my sins, and still am currently.
And did you turn from your sins?
In some ways, yes, in other ways, no. I mean, try to do what's right, but I still do commit sins. I'm aware of. I'm sorry I do.
This is a good test, Orin. Christians sin. You're right about that. We do sin. The difference, though, between a Christian and somebody who's self-deceived is a real Christian does sin, but it's a falling into sin. We fall. We hate it. Get back up straight away. Apologize and get back to serving God. A false convert or somebody who's not a Christian, they live in sin. They wake up, they plan it, they plot it, they do it, don't care much that they've done it, and then they go to bed and they get up and they repeat the process, and they live a lifestyle of sin. Are you the former or the latter when you say that you sin?
I don't live in sin. I don't ignore my sins every day. I'm very well aware and I'm very sorry for them, and I try to rectify them and not to commit the same sins again.
Do you know for sure that if you died right now, that you'd be going to heaven?
I do.
How come?
Because I believe what the Bible says, that if you accept Jesus in your heart and you ask for forgiveness, that you will be forgiven and accepted into heaven.
Okay, so you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that's
without
your eternity.
Yes, sir.
So I don't need to witness to you. You're good to go.
I'm good to go.
Rock on.
Awesome.
Nice to meet you, Oren.
It's nice to meet you, too.
All right, dude. Go mechanical engineer.
All right, thank you.
All right, goodbye.
Can I get your name?
My name is Todd.
Todd?
Yes. Nice to meet you, Oren. What do you think? How did Oren do? That's an example where when somebody says that they are a Christian and they say that they accepted Jesus or asked Jesus into their heart at the age of 7 or 8, it is good to probe. It is good to dig in. It is good to make sure that somebody understands the gospel clearly. Now, is that fellow saved? I sure hope so, don't you?
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News break, a production of Fortis Institute. A 14-year-old boy in Bavaria is facing a government fine, and his offense was staying home from school. Last month, his school ran a mandatory workshop on gender roles and gender identity taught by a city-funded queer youth group that lobbies to strip the words like mother and father from German birth certificates. His parents asked what materials would be used, got no answer, and then kept him home. The school reported it, the district opened a fines proceeding, and the notice went to the boy himself because at 14, German law says he's old enough to answer for it. The family is fighting it in court, and a district spokesman suggested they should have just called him in sick. So Bavaria isn't teaching tolerance, it's teaching youth that you can keep your convictions as long as you're willing to lie about them. And that's the classroom version. Here's the Parliament version. A Scottish Green Party lawmaker, a man who identifies as a non-binary and transgender, said on a podcast that rape, in his words, is a spectrum. He argued that anyone is capable of it, and there are contexts and conditions under which rape is rape. The United Nations investigator on violence against women said that the language undercuts decades of work criminalizing the crime, and Scotland's Rape Crisis Group condemned it. Back home, the guardians of democracy have been busy. The vice president and second lady added a chicken coop to the official residence this summer. 12 hens, a coop built to match the Victorian house, donated by a North Carolina family business with no taxpayer money involved. The Washington Post then covered this like it was a documented leak or something. Who will raise these hens? They interviewed backyard chicken keepers, tracked down the man who built the coop, and called a city official about district poultry rules on federal land where those rules don't even apply. Raising your own food appears to confuse these institutions, but harvesting it? Well, that just alarms them. Cornell University added a line to its housing handbook this fall. Processing wild game in community kitchens is strictly prohibited. Last September, 2 students illegally shot a black bear 2 houses from campus. They planned to butcher it at a friend's place. The friend had an emergency and, of course, meat spoils, so they checked the campus rules, found nothing against it, and skinned the bear on a kitchen table. Campus police came, state conservation officers inspected, and no laws were broken or health codes were violated, so there was no discipline. Cornell closed the kitchen, cleaned it, and reopened it, and spent 11 months writing that sentence. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both can be done at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1646. The Westminster Confession is drafted in the Jerusalem Room at Westminster Abbey. The confessions were drafted by an assembly of Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and Independents, and became the foundation of Reformed theology throughout Europe and America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right. I want to talk to this young man who's walking by right now, because anybody who's wearing flip-flops and a winter coat, I'd like to talk to on the radio. Is that okay, young man?
That works.
All right, dude, what are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Mechanical engineering.
There's a lot of you mechanical engineers here.
Yeah, there are.
A big bunch of geeks you are.
Yeah.
Yeah? And how tall are you?
6'5".
6'5". Are you on basketball team?
I'm not.
Do you have any vertical?
No.
Me neither. That was
brother.
The problem.
That's my brother's.
Are you bitter about your brother?
A little bit. He was the athlete.
Yeah. Yeah, but are you smarter than him?
I used to be.
But not anymore?
No. Too much alcohol.
Too much alcohol?
Yeah.
You've been drinking too much.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. How old are you?
22.
20? Oh, good answer. Okay. Yeah, right. Okay, so you're 22.
I'm a fourth year.
Did the drinking start before you went away to school?
No.
Just here, when you got here?
Yep.
Is there... I'm from Minnesota.
Okay.
And I go to the University of Minnesota campus a lot.
Okay.
And there, you look around, you see signs of partying everywhere. Mm-hmm. A lot of sex stuff, a lot of political stuff, a lot of religious stuff.
Okay.
Very progressive. I don't see that around here at Georgia Tech.
No.
But is it going on?
I mean, a little bit, but I mean, it's a lot. I'm from Wisconsin, so I mean, I compare.
So you know,
like,
what drinking is all about. You're a brandy man, is what you are.
Yeah. So
is that right?
A little bit. I mean, I like vodka just as much. But yeah.
You're a stereotype.
Yeah.
Are you a cheesehead?
Yes.
Packers fan?
Yes.
Dude.
Brewers fan? All the above. Yep.
You know, I heard though the Miller Brewery is being sold. Did you know
that? Yeah.
Did that happen?
Coors and Miller are together now. So
same deal. Boy, it's just not Brew City anymore.
Not anymore. Nope.
Just without your old Milwaukee, it's not the same.
Yep.
So, dude, you've been living kind of a prodigal life since you've been here.
Yeah.
Do your parents know about this?
My mom knows. Yeah.
Yeah. She knows. What's mom thinking?
Mom was okay with it. I mean, she took me out to bars a little bit when I was under the age of 18, because in Wisconsin it's legal, so she didn't really care that
much.
It's
legal if a parent is with you in a bar?
Yeah, they could take you out to bars.
And you can drink?
And you can drink.
No.
Yeah, it is. The state of Wisconsin. But as soon as you hit the age of 18, you're an adult, and they can't let you do it anymore.
I cannot follow that logic. I'll be honest with you.
Ask Wisconsin.
Okay, so dude, not to get too personal, and you can just pass on this whole thing. Okay. Usually when there's a lot of alcohol consumption involved,
okay,
there's other activities that are involved.
Yep.
Yes?
Yep.
Going on for you?
Not really.
No?
No.
Sex,
really,
drugs, and rock and roll?
Not really. I mean, it's just I drink. I usually go to sleep, and that's about it.
Okay, let me ask you a really personal question.
All
you
right.
might want to pop me for this one, so
all
don't,
right.
okay? You're going to practice some self-control?
All right.
All right. Pornography?
Sure, yes.
Sure.
Yep.
Well, wow, dude. You kind of say that kind of casually, like no big deal.
I don't see the problem with it. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Really? How's about the fact that it kind of objectifies women and makes them objects instead of somebody to be cherished?
I could totally turn around and tell you I'm gay and that I watch gay porn, so.
Okay.
I mean,
are you?
Yes.
Okay. So even so, isn't it kind of a humiliating way to see human beings doing something kind of private?
I don't think so. I mean, it's something that they chose to do, and
so it's okay.
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the idea of watching something like that, as long as it's behind closed doors, it's all right.
Sure. I mean, even if you want to do it in a big group, I mean, whatever.
Okay. What's your first name?
Jesse.
Jesse.
Yep.
What would you think about a guy who was peeping into people's windows, watching him in their bedrooms?
I think that'd be perverted and wrong, and
okay,
you know,
but
shouldn't be
but
done.
Because somebody gives permission, mm-hmm, it's okay to watch that.
Yeah.
So the perversion is you don't have permission not watching somebody else in a sexual act.
Yeah.
Okay. So right. Interesting. Do you have a religious background?
I grew up Presbyterian, but I don't have any religion now. So.
Yeah. What do Presbyterians teach about the afterlife?
That, you know, we can go to heaven and hell, and that we're going to, you know, end up being judged when we die. And
right.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
I think that's right.
Yep.
Yeah. So if that's true, where do you think you'd go? If it's true.
If it's true, yeah. I'd say I'd go to heaven.
Okay.
Because in the end, we can repent for our sins if we go back to that ideology. And that's one of the reasons why I can't be Christian anymore, is just because none of it makes sense. I mean, no religion really makes sense. It's just something that we're trying to find a reason for life, and it doesn't... There's no purpose in it.
Well, so. I'm not sure. I'm not a Presbyterian, but I don't think that's what Presbyterians teach exactly.
Okay.
I do think that they would say that it is appointed for you to die and mm-hmm. then to be judged.
Yep.
And God, who knows every thought, every deed, every action, who says that if you just look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart,
mm-hmm.
right? Which clearly okay. you've done.
Sure.
Okay. For instance, he says that all liars
okay.
will have their part in a lake of fire. How many lies have you told?
Lots
of lies.
Lots of lies.
Okay. Dishonored mom maybe in the past?
Sure.
Okay. Taking God's name in vain?
Yep.
Okay. So you die. God judges you. Innocent
and I guess
or guilty.
I go to hell. I mean, I can't really sit there and be like offended by it because I don't believe in
I understand
that,
you
so.
Don't.
Yeah.
But maybe this will just make more sense than the way you had it put together before.
Mm-hmm.
So if you died, God has to punish lawbreakers.
Yep.
I'm a lawbreaker. She's a lawbreaker. You're a lawbreaker. God must punish wrong... Correct?
Mm-hmm.
you'd be guilty and you'd go to hell.
Kevin?
Yikes. They're so casual about it.
It doesn't bother me because I'm, you know, I'm firm in my belief. I don't believe it exists. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from what I'm told, it's, you know, you live an eternity of just bad awfulness. And I'm really not too worried about it because, like I said, I don't have any faith. And just for that reason alone,
I don't believe you.
Why?
Because I think you do think about it sometimes.
Right. I think everybody has to think.
It's
kind of like how Christians are, you know, tried every day. They have people that come after them for their religious beliefs. I have people come after me for my lack of belief.
Right.
And every day I'm tested in that. So, I mean, I'm completely open to people talking to me about it.
Good for you.
And it's still something that I've considered, but it's an option that I've pretty firm in my beliefs that I don't believe there's anything out there or anything
like
that.
So here's what I just told you, and you were very polite to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
I just told you that according to the Bible, you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You said you grew up with some Presbyterian training.
Yep.
What else do they teach? You die, you get judged, no second chance. What else is there to the story? Because it's pretty bleak right now.
I mean, I guess I was taught differently at my church, but it was basically one of those things where we were going to die, and I mean, we could go off and, you know, tell, like, everything. We could come true, and if we came true, then we'd go to heaven and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not like I have, like, an insurance policy or anything. I would walk up there if all of a sudden the day comes where I die and somebody's like, all right, you died, you know, you tell us everything you've done wrong, I'd say I didn't believe in any of it, so I'd go to hell for that. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I have my belief in not believing. And
I understand.
I'm very, very, very firm.
I understand.
In that.
But just so that you've got the whole picture, you said you're willing to consider this stuff, just so you understand the whole deal. Okay? I'm not so sure what they told you about believing and it comes true or what have you, whatever that's all about. But the Bible says you die, you get judged, you're guilty, you go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is just and He must punish lawbreakers.
Yep.
But the Bible also says that He's good and He's rich in mercy.
Mm hmm.
And He demonstrated that by...
when Jesus died for our sins.
There you go.
There we go.
That's right. That's the good news. So
mm-hmm.
your sins can be forgiven.
Yep.
You don't have to go to hell. But here's the trick right here. Here's the catch. And I suspect this is probably it for you.
Okay.
The Bible says you have to repent.
Okay.
Which means agree with God.
Yep.
And apologize to God for
mm-hmm.
breaking His laws. Turn from your law breaking and put your trust in Jesus. And that's probably the rub right there.
Okay.
You're young. You're getting sowing some wild oats right now, and this whole Jesus thing, you just know that if I'm going to repent, that means I don't get to feed my flesh, I don't get to go out and do the parties, the pornography. Those days are done, and you don't want to give those up.
I don't think that's it.
You don't?
No, I think there's a
what
lot.
Is it?
I mean, I've had, and I don't want to sit there and say, like, my life's unfair or anything like that. I think I've been, everybody says that, you know, God tests you, and I've had a dad die, I've had a big brother die, I was raped. I've had all this happen to me, and like it just came down to it where it was like, I'm strong, I'm a good person, I'm all that stuff, and I can't sit there and give credit to something that I can't see or do anything with to, you know, I just can't give credit to somebody else for it. And it's not me not wanting to repent or anything like that. I just feel that I did all this on my own. If anything, I say I go down towards like the religious beliefs of doing stuff like Buddhists and stuff like that, where it's I've leaned more that way now, where it's like your inner
Jesse, like, I'm
inner
sorry
stuff.
For that stuff.
It's
a reminder that we just live in a bad place.
Yeah.
There's evil, awful stuff going on out there, and I'm truly sorry for that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But let me just leave you with this thought, all right?
Okay.
If what I'm saying is true, you can go to heaven because of what Jesus did for you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard the verse that said, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son?
Yes.
God loved you enough to die for you
mm-hmm.
so that your sins can be forgiven and you could be brought into a right relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm.
At least think about it today.
All right.
Okay? Would you do that?
Yeah. I mean, that's I've said that I'm open to it. I mean, that's something that I listen to.
Then here's the challenge. Listen to your conscience today. God gave you that little inner voice that says, oh boy, I've done wrong. I'm not a good person. I've done bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And if it starts to concern you, then think about what Jesus did for you.
All right.
And it should break your heart. And you should flee to Him, not because you're maybe afraid to die or scared of hell or there's punishment, but because He's been so good to rescue you from hell by dying for you. It's about kindness. It's not about a threat. It's about turning to him because he's kind and he's good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
All right.
Would you think about that today?
Yeah, I would.
All right. Young man, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Goodbye. Here,
thank you.
Got to give you a Bob Dole handshake.
You.
Okay,
right,
goodbye.
You.
See ya. Goodbye. If you happen to be somebody who listens to us do this often enough, you know that we have a tendency to promote law to the proud, grace to the humble, and don't give people the good news until they tremble before a just and holy law. I don't know what was happening with Jesse, but there was trembling going on. There was dry mouth and the cheeks quivering, and so more than anything, we delight in giving the good news of the gospel, so I did. Pray that God will convict his conscience. That's a sad story, but all of that can be healed and gone. And it can be for you too. If you will repent and trust the Savior, he will save you too, no matter what you have done. Witness Wednesday, Wretched Radio.
You know the cycle. You're not alone. Temptation hits, you tell yourself, not this time, and then you do it anyway. You feel disgusting afterwards. You say you're sorry. You swear it'll never happen again. And then you're alone, and it does. Slaying the dragon, this is not another strategy. This is not a band-aid. It's not five tips to better accountability. This is an audio resource, and it's designed to give you what you need to never fall into this temptation again. Not manage it, but actually kill it. Because let's be honest about what's on the line here. Your job, your marriage, your kids, your soul. This is not a small thing you're playing with, and deep down you know it. Every man needs to hear what's in this resource, every single one, whether you're in the thick of it or you think you've got it under control. The dragon is real, and it needs to be slain. Slaying the Dragon, it's streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Just download it on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, finding Bible teachers you can actually trust, it's not as easy as it used to be. There is a lot of content out there, but not all of it's faithful. That's what Fortis Institute is building. We've brought together a team of fellows, people like Tim Challies, Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Todd Friel, Dr. John Krotz, Libby Clawson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and they're all committed to teaching the word without apology. These aren't influencers. They're not chasing trends. These are serious teachers doing serious work. And the reason that we've been able to bring voices like this together in one place is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who find value in what we're doing at Fortis Institute. And if you appreciate what we're doing and you want to be a part of it, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Help us to continue building something that matters. Just go to FortisInstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Have you ever wanted to take a tour of Europe, but you couldn't swing the airfare? Good news. Todd Friel's already gone for you. Our resource on the shoulders of giants takes you across six countries to meet your Christian ancestors, the reformers, the men who were strangled, quartered, and burned alive so you could hold a Bible in your own language and understand the gospel of grace. You'll see the stake where Jan Hus was burned to death, the prison where William Tyndale translated scripture, the very courtroom where John Wycliffe was called monstrously wicked. You'll visit Martin Luther's home, the field where George Whitefield preached to 30,000 people without a microphone, and the outdoor pulpit of the thundering Scot himself, John Knox. These people were too good for this world, and their lives will challenge you to be bolder than ever before. On the shoulders of giants, it is streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, with that being said, we're going to talk to a guy who's got his mouth full of bagel, I'm guessing. Young man. While you're sitting here eating your bagel, could I ask you a question on the radio?
Okay.
That'd be all right? What are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Psychology.
Psychology? Mm-hmm. Terrific. What field of psychology?
I'm just a freshman, so I'm not too specific yet.
Do you have a certain school that you think is best? A certain way to approach analyzing the human mind that is the most beneficial?
I really just started.
Just started.
I don't know yet.
How come you chose that field?
I just find it interesting, and I don't like anything else, so
that's
I don't really have a choice.
So what was interesting about it? What do you dig about getting into the human brain?
Yeah.
You like that?
Sounds fun.
All right. Do you think that human beings are basically good or basically bad?
I think good.
Do you think
but
so?
I don't have a lot of evidence to back that up.
These people around here are being pretty peaceful. How's that?
Yeah, that's good evidence, I guess.
On the other hand, if you watch the 10 o'clock news, there's a lot of bad stuff going on.
That's true.
Do you think intrinsically you are good or bad?
Oh, I think I'm good.
You think you're good?
I'm really nice.
You're a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Well, you seem like a kind of a soft-spoken nice fellow. Or do you think, though, let's say that the standard for good is perfection. Would you be a good person then?
Well, no.
No.
Because I make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I do things that probably aren't the moral best.
The moral best?
Yeah.
What do you think the moral best is?
That's a vague question. It
okay.
depends on the situation.
How's about the Ten Commandments? Would that be a good standard?
Maybe.
Perhaps.
I don't really know the Ten Commandments very well.
Thou shalt not lie. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you ever told lies?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's okay sometimes.
Sometimes.
And I don't think it's bad if you covet stuff sometimes. I mean, it's hard to not covet stuff.
Well, that's an interesting thought. But what if God exists and he's provided everything? Like, for instance, you're wearing a jacket. What kind of jacket are you wearing? What is that?
It's a
Columbia.
Jacket. I can, like, detach it, and it becomes two
It's a
jackets.
Good jacket.
It's really cool.
Okay, but so let's say then you look at my jacket, yeah. and you covet my jacket. Wouldn't that be, in a way, saying to the God who provided your jacket, I don't think you're a very good provider?
I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about stealing? That's another one of the commandments.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it depends on the situation. Like, if you're really poor, some other guy's really rich, and...
Have you ever stolen anything?
No.
Ever?
Well, when I was two, I thought these balloons were free, so I took one.
Okay, but
that
I
doesn't
don't
count.
That two-year-old
no.
who thought balloons were free, like downloading music or something from work or
okay.
something from your parents.
Well, sometimes when a music album is coming out and it's leaked early on the internet, I get it, but then I buy it in real life to make up for it. I'm just kind of like getting it in advance.
Okay.
It's a technicality.
Okay, little more tricky, and we might not be able to wiggle away from this one. What about purity of thought? You know, sexual thoughts, desires, looking at women. Do you ever find yourself having sexual thoughts that are impure?
I guess so, but I don't think it matters.
No, like, really?
Not my fault.
Not your fault?
Uh-uh.
Whose fault is it?
I mean, it doesn't hurt anyone, so...
Well, that's possible. However, do you have a sister by any chance?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. How would you feel about some guy having dirty thoughts about your sister? You'd probably think the guy wasn't an honorable fellow, right?
Yeah, that wouldn't be the best.
Yeah, wouldn't be the best. And besides, if God exists, wouldn't it be true that if he doesn't think it's best, then it would be wrong and a very bad thing?
I guess so.
Do you believe in God?
I go back and forth.
Back and forth? Were you raised in a religious home?
My parents are Catholic. They took me to church when I was little. Once I got older, they decided to let me make my own decisions.
Kind of abandoned it. And you've decided it's not true?
No, I haven't made any hard decisions yet. I'm just kind of thinking about it.
Good for you. How old are you?
19.
19 years old. It's good to figure it out when you get, you know, you become a man and start thinking about things for yourself and not just what your parents believe. That's good. Do you know what Christianity is about? Do you know what the basic teaching of Christianity is?
Well, I guess it differs from Judaism in that it says that Jesus died for us and, like, we should be happy about that.
We should be. Why did Jesus die for us? What does the Bible teach about that?
Oh, I don't know. I probably should.
It's a big question. I mean, if it's the event that really changed time, because we went from B.C. to A.D., it was a pretty big event. Okay, how's about this? Jesus died because you and I are lawbreakers. We break the Ten Commandments. We sin against God. And because he's just, if he gave us what we deserve for being guilty, it would be very bad. Mm-hmm. Because of his standard of perfection, the Ten Commandments, because he's so holy and any violation against his law is a crime against him, he should punish us severely. But he's good, and to save us and to still uphold justice, he sent his son Jesus to take the punishment that you and I deserve so that his goodness could be credited to our account and your badness could be put on him. It could be a great exchange so that you could be forgiven by God and go to heaven to be with him because of what Jesus did on your behalf. That's Christianity. Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar.
All that stuff.
Kind of vaguely floating around a little bit. Yeah, so I guess the big question would be, is it true? I mean, that would kind of be the big issue, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's false, no big deal. You don't have anything to worry about. But if it's true, and you're like the rest of us, you're a lawbreaker with lustful thoughts, you dishonored your parents when you were little, you lied, you perhaps stolen, you covet things, you're angry at people when you shouldn't be, you'd end up in hell. So if it's true, you'd be in hot water. But if it's also true, you could also be forgiven, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you should figure out if this is true or not, shouldn't you?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, yeah. You're thinking things through. Good for you. I'm glad you're doing that because it's a good time to figure things out. But could I encourage you to think about what I just said to you today?
I'll think about it.
And see if it's true? All right. Before I go, young man, you should know this too. In order to be forgiven by God, did anybody ever tell you what you need to do? At least according to the Bible. Do you know what you have to do to... If forgiveness is available for you, God is willing to forgive you because of what Jesus did. The kindest act of all time. The question is, how do you get forgiven? How do you get that goodness credited to your account?
Confession? Prayer?
That's a part of it. Yeah, we should talk to God and confess that we are wrong. He's right. I'm wrong. I've sinned against him. I've broken his laws. I've done dirty things. I've done wrong things. And I'm sorry. And we don't go to a man in a box. We go directly to God because Jesus provided a way for us to get to God. And we tell him that we're sorry and we turn from our sins. The word is repentance. We repent and we put our trust in Jesus. And the Bible says if you do that, all of your sins, past, present, and future, completely forgiven, you'll be adopted as God's child. And you'll receive everlasting life because of what Jesus did. That's the good news of the gospel. All the other religions will tell you, work, be good, try really hard, and maybe you'll get reincarnated or you'll go to a better place. The Bible says you can't do good, but you can be forgiven by a very good God, and he will save you by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Something to ponder today, eh?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you're a gentleman. Can I shake your hand? Don't let me wreck up the get some germs on your bagel. Thanks for the chat, young man.
All right,
see ya. Goodbye. Sure is a bummer that this is radio. Because I wish you could see people's faces sometimes. Nice young man. But honestly, at the end of the conversation, he looked like he'd been tased. Just jolted and jarred. He's trying to think things through, and it's obvious when you're checking out studies in psychology and understanding how the brain works and how the heart works and how to make things better. Good for him. And if you're listening too, by the way, you're a drive-by, you are scanning by, and you found yourself on this particular channel. If you don't have it figured out, I beg you to consider what you just heard me say. Please consider what I've just shared with you from the Bible. Not me, but from the Bible. That we are not basically good. We are basically bad. We are very, very bad. Even Michael Jackson understood that. And we need help. If God gives us what we deserve, we are in big trouble. Grace, free, complete, total, available to you if you will come on his terms, not your terms, his terms, not Jesus and, not, well, I want my sins forgiven, but I want to keep doing them. You come to him on his terms, repent,
turn from your sins. Doesn't mean you become perfect, but you have a new attitude. You don't want to sin anymore, because that is the stuff that put him on the cross and caused him agony, that you might be forgiven. And you put your trust in Jesus Christ, and the Bible promises, unlike every other religion in the world, your sins will be completely forgiven, and you will receive everlasting life. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.